All right. Being a 7 o'clock, I'll call the meeting to order. Where this is the first meeting since council's reappointments to the Planning Advisory Committee, as staff, I'm calling the meeting to order. I'd like to acknowledge that we are in Mi'kma'ki, the traditional territory of the Mi'kmaq people. Before we get started on the agenda, well, I guess starting on the agenda is the introduction of council members and staff. We do have at least one new face around the table, so it would be helpful if everybody introduced themselves. I'll start off. I'm Jeff Merrill, the Director of Planning and Development Services for the municipality. We'll go with staff, and then we'll switch to the committee members.
I'm Jennifer Harriotha. I'm Administrative Assistant to Engineering and Planning and do the admin for PAC.
Hi, I'm Ella Gindy, and I'm a planner with the municipality.
Great, thank you. And we'll start down with Martin, the committee members.
Good evening, Keith. I'm Martin Bell, a councillor for the west side of the Hay River.
Good evening. My name is Kathy Moore, and I'm the counselor for the New Germany and surrounding communities.
There we go. I'm Peter Simpson, and I'm a resident of Dayspring, and I'm a member at large.
Carolyn Bolivar Getson, mayor for the municipality.
Great. Larry, do you want to go next?
Yeah, my name is Larry Hagel. I'm a member at large. I live in Parkdale Maplewood.
And I should mention that we did receive regrets from member at large Ann Meck. Michelle?
Hi, I'm Michelle. I'm the counselor for communities around New Germany as well, just not New Germany.
North.
The northern part of the municipality.
Push the button.
I'm Chastity Vino, and as you know, I'm your counselor. You know where to find me, District 10.
Keith Drysdale, I guess I'm your new community member. Lived in First South since 2015, but we've purchased property in 2008, so we've been part of the community since 2008. In a previous life, I was a development planning manager at Imperial Oil, looking after multi-billion dollar projects. So I have a little bit of experience with what you guys are going through here. But now that I'm retired, I do woodworking and look after my yard.
Thank you. Welcome, Keith. So next on the agenda is the election of chair and vice chair, and what I'd like to do is call for the nomination of chair. So this, and then what we'll do, we'll read the nominations, and then you'll get to vote for the chair person. So the first one, you should all have ballots. I'll come around with a box, and so this is to nominate who you would like as chair. Right. The nominations of chair, Peter Simpson, Councillor Bell. So we have two nominations, Peter Simpson and Councillor Bell. Peter, do you accept the nomination?
Yes, I accept the nomination.
Okay. And Councillor Bell, do you accept the nomination?
I think Mr. Simpson would be a better chair than I.
All right. So I'll say that. All right. Well, congratulations to Mr. Simpson.
Thank you.
I'll invite you back up. You can do the call for nominations for vice. The box is empty.
That's up there. What did you say?
I forgot Larry.
Oh, that's right, too.
It wouldn't have mattered. Can we do it again?
Well, ask Larry. You got to ask Larry. I guess if he's,
I apologize, Larry. I just realized that I forgot to ask for your nomination.
It should be emailed, too.
Yep.
I'm quite happy with the selection there.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, Larry, so for the vice, if you want to email that to me, I'll make sure that I include that this time. Apologize for that.
Okay, so if you could use one of the ballots in front of you to put your choice for vice chair. I hope you don't mind. Jeff will come around.
Nomination of Vice Chair, Councillor Bell. Keith Drysdale. For nomination of vice chair, you have two names, Councillor Bell and Keith Drysdale. Yes.
This time I remembered.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. So do you accept the nomination?
Yes.
Do you accept the nomination? Here we go. Okay, so we have to vote now for your choice for vice chair on the ballot, and Jeff will come around.
And Larry, if you want to email that to me, please.
Nothing in there.
So I'll read the ballots for the election of vice chair. We have Councillor Bell, Councillor Bell, Councillor Bell, Councillor Bell, Councillor Bell. We have five.
That's five.
That's enough.
Okay, so Councillor Bell was elected vice chair. Congratulations, Councillor Bell.
Thank you.
Okay.
I would make a motion that
Make a motion that we destroy the ballots.
We have a seconder for that. We have Councillor Greek. All in favor, signify a contrary minded, if any. No? Okay, thank you.
Oh, his hand is up.
Sorry, Larry, you're right in front of me, too. His hand is up right there. Okay. Okay. Just before we go a little further, I'd just like to welcome Keith to the committee. And I'm glad to see the expertise you have as well. It's going to be a real asset to this committee, I believe. I don't think we've ever met. In my previous life, I was the president and CEO of both the Greater Toronto and Metro Vancouver Home Builders Associations. So I dealt a lot with planning issues there and dealing with all the municipalities that comprise Metro Vancouver, which is 22 of them. So they're all doing their own thing at the same time. So there you go. So welcome. Okay, that's done. There's nobody in the audience here tonight, but I'm going to read the procedure for addressing the committee anyway, I think, just for the record. So an opportunity will be provided to all citizens to address the committee on each agenda item shown on this agenda or added to the agenda by the committee. Individuals who wish to address the committee are asked to note the following. On each matter on the committee's agenda, the chair will seek public comment upon the completion of staff's presentation. Each person shall state their name. All statements and questions shall be directed to the chair. Presentation shall be limited to 10 minutes. Persons wishing to address the committee a second time will be given opportunity to do so once all others in attendance have had the opportunity to address the committee. Persons addressing the committee for a second time shall limit their presentations to 5 minutes. Anyone wishing to address the committee on a matter not included on this agenda can have the matter added to the next meeting's agenda by contacting Jeff Merrill, on my left, Director of Planning and Development Services, 902-541-1340, or by email at planning@modl.ca. Okay. I'd like to have a motion now to approve the agenda. Okay. Councillor Vino, and do I have a seconder? Okay. Councillor Moore, any comments? I'm going to call the question. All in favor, signify by raising your hand. Contrary minded, if any. Motion is passed. Thank you. Next on the agenda is approval of the minutes. I'd like to make a correction on there if you don't mind. It says approval of the minutes of Thursday, November the 24th. Thursday, November the 23rd is the right date on that.
I would so move we move the approval of the minutes of November the 23rd.
Oh, Councillor Bolivar Getson, we have a seconder. Councillor Bell, any comments or additions? Larry? Okay, that's good. I'll call a question. And all in favor of approving the minutes of Thursday, November 23rd, signify by raising your hand. Contrary minded, if any. Okay, thank you. Motion is passed. Jeff, any business arising from the minutes?
I can just give a quick update. At the last meeting, this committee made recommendations to council regarding amendments to the Riverport and District Secondary Planning Strategy and Land Use Bylaw, and I can report that council accepted those recommendations. So this was to rezone two of the lots from the environmentally sensitive zone to to the adjacent rural zone because they did not ground truthing. The map showed that there are no wetlands on those, and the accessory structure amendment also went forward, and council also referred staff back to the Riverport and District Area Advisory Committee to discuss the new information regarding the wetlands policy. So that's all the updates, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Jeff. Agenda eight on the item eight on the agenda is Planning Advisory Committee Matters. Do we have any other Planning Advisory Committee members? No. Members matters, I should say.
No.
Okay, so we have one item on the agenda then. That's Heritage Advisory Committee Matters, and namely the substantial alteration to St. John's the Evangelist Anglican Church. And I think everybody has copies, or you have copies of the documentation on this, pages 1 to 6 on your agenda package. So I'll pass it over to you, Jeff. Or you want to pass it to me?
Yeah, I'll pass it down the line. In our planner, Ella Gindy, has prepared the staff report and has a presentation for the committee.
Good evening. So as Peter mentioned, this presentation will be discussing the proposed alteration to a municipal heritage property, the St. John's Evangelist Anglican Church. So following bylaw 43, subsection 10.1, planning staff received a letter on November 29th, 2023, requesting an exterior alteration to the St. George Evangelist Anglican Church located at the Lave Island Road by Bell Island. The request was to alter the exterior of the building by replacing the exterior, the existing deck and steps with a wider deck and an accessibility ramp in order to accommodate people of all ages and abilities. The building currently has a 4 feet by 6 feet deck with steps without accessible entrance, which blocks mobility aid for certain individuals. The existing wooden deck and steps were added in 2015 after the removal of a concrete structure at the main entrance as approved by council at the time. The alteration request was to replace that existing deck with a wider deck, as I mentioned, and a wheelchair ramp. Staff reviewed the proposal against council's policy for the review of alterations to municipal heritage properties, and as per Section 5, Subsection E, and Section 6B, alterations that change the building's exterior at the municipality registered heritage property is deemed to be a substantial alteration. That's why we are here today. Hence, it requires the review of the committee and to be approved by council. So the question of the advisory committee today is whether the proposed alteration severely affects the heritage essence of the building exterior architecture, or are we prioritizing accessibility over architectural style? So these are photos that I take. I've taken of the existing building. So just some information about that beautiful building. It was built in 1903. It is a modest Victorian Gothic Revival building. The building was registered in 97 as a municipal heritage property, and the reasons provided for the heritage designation at the time were associated with the age, but also that the church was built by a famous local carpenter, Thomas A. Hemmen. I'm sorry if I'm saying the last name incorrectly. Was also credited with building 5 other Lunenburg County churches. So it's a gorgeous church, but technically the steps and the deck are not considered to be a character-defining element. So according to council's policy, or even the standard guidelines of the federal government, it's not considered to be a character-defining element. Thus, it depends on council's approval. It can be, the alteration can be approved. This is an old photo that I found in the Genealogical Society, and you can see that the deck was not there at the time. And you can see that concrete step. So again, the deck and the steps are not considered to be a character-defining element. And according to the standards and guidelines of historic places in Canada regarding accessibility, making historic places accessible is a widely sought-after social goal. And the most effective solutions maintain a balance between accessibility and preserving heritage value by enhancing the use and appreciation of everyone. Currently, the building is not being used anymore as a religious for religious uses, but it is serving the community as a venue for events. There are certain annual events that are occurring there for annual fishermen ceremonies of fishermen who lost their life at sea. So that space does hold a significance to the community as its use. And as with talking with the president of the committee of the LaHave Museum Committee, who are basically are maintaining the building, they said that unfortunately other events that they had when people with wheelchairs were not able to enter the building, and it cost a burden for those individuals just because they did not have that accessibility access. So staff is recommending that the Heritage Advisory Committee consider making a positive recommendation to Council, permitting the proposed alterations as requested by the applicant. And you can discuss, and there's a motion after if needed.
Thank you, Ella. And thanks for all the work on this, the two working up. You know, that doesn't happen overnight. I'd like to put it out there for committee discussion and any questions or concerns that they have. Mayor.
Well, I definitely will speak in favor of the accessibility component to any building right now and in the future, believe me. But making any of these facilities accessible is definitely something that is part of our mandate as well and part of where Council wants to be with all of our public buildings and any buildings in our municipality. So this definitely will add to the ability for everyone to be able to utilize this building. So, no, it's definitely a step in the right direction.
Thank you. Councillor Moore?
I agree.
Councillor Vino.
Thank you. I also will be in support of this. I think this is a good example of when accessibility needs to take precedent over historical value and knowing what's coming down the line in our accessibility with the province. This is a step in the right direction.
Councillor Bell.
And I think this is a good example where a community is reusing a building for the value of the community itself, and we should do everything we can to help them make sure this project is done.
Oh, thank you. I have a question, Ella. You said who maintains the building. Who has ownership of that building?
I think it's the LaHave Museum Association.
If you could put up on the screen the actual photograph of it again.
So this is the current condition of the site, of the property, and you can see the deck and the stairs.
Okay. Although it's not a character-defining element of the church, but would there be any consideration given to when it's constructed that the color scheme mimics the existing color scheme, the white and black, rather than brown or just, wood look or something like that?
As far as I understood from the applicant, since the colors are also not considered a character-defining element, but you do want to maintain the same appearance, it will still be made out of wood, so it will match the material. And I believe that they will also paint it in the similar colors. We can also let them, we can advise that on the letter of support.
Thank you. Sorry?
Just put your mic on for Larry.
Larry. Yeah. My wife says I talk too loud, so maybe that's why I don't need a mic or something. Okay. So the motion is that the Heritage Advisory Committee recommends to Council to approve the proposed alteration to the municipally registered heritage property, St. John's Evangelist Anglican Church. Do I have somebody who can move that motion? Okay, so Councillor Vino, do we have a seconder to that motion? Oh, Keith Drysdale? I'm going to call a motion. All in favor, signify by raising your hand. Okay, contrary-minded, if any.
Larry, put his hand up.
Yeah. I saw your hand, Larry. Okay, the motion is... Thank you. Any added items, Jeff?
There's no added items.
Any in-camera items?
No.
Okay, so the next meeting of this committee shall be on Thursday, February the 22nd, 2024. So I'd like to motion to adjourn.
So moved.
That's Councillor Moore seconded that. Okay.
All in.
Have a safe drive home, everybody.
Hey.